Now, what happened to Cain? What happened to Cain? Well, let's read this because I think this is quite important and fits in very good, and we need to understand it. Okay? And she proceeded forth and bare his brother Abel, and Abel became a shepherd, and Cain became a plowman. And it fortuned in process of time that Cain brought of the fruit of the earth an offering unto the Lord, or Jehovah. And Abel he brought also of the firstlings of his sheep and of the fat of them. And the Lord looked unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain unto his offering he looked not. And Cain was wroth exceedingly and lowered. I like that, lowered, which means that he had a fit of rage. Lowered. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why do you lower? And actually the way it's written, why lowerest thou? Don't you know that if you do well, you shall receive it? Now, what is that? What does it mean, receive it? That means to receive the blessing of God. If you do well. But if you do evil, by and by, sin lies open in the door. Now, let's understand what this means. After Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, what happened? God put two cherubim to guard the east entrance to the Garden of Eden, correct? God continued to live in the Garden of Eden. Because the one who became Jesus Christ was the one whose job it was to deal with humankind. Right at the garden entrance there, at the east entrance, and this ties all in with the temple too when you understand it, there was an altar that was built where there were sacrifices offered. And God would come out there and meet with them. So they still had a relationship with God, howbeit not as close as it was when they were in the garden. So Cain came up to this place, and what he was doing, by and by sin lies open in the door. That is, he had no forgiveness because he was coming there offering the wrong sacrifice. The question was this: was Eve under the impression that Cain was a fulfillment of that prophecy? Yes. Yes, she was. She probably did. Yes, Eve probably taught him that. And so therefore he thought that anything he did was fine because he was the one. And what is the Bible saying? He who exalts himself shall be abased. In this case, exiled. Okay? Now, I'm going to cover a little bit more here, just a minute. But in the scriptural Hebrew, not the Yiddish Hebrew of the scriptures, but in the Levitical scriptural Hebrew, it means, I've gotten me a man, -, Jehovah. Okay, the question is, why was Cain not accepted of God? Because a fruit offering does not forgive sin. It's that simple. A fruit offering of the ground does not forgive sin. That's okay. How do farmers get an offering that they can offer? They buy it from someone who has an animal. Very simple. You get an animal, sacrifice it. Yeah, the fruit of the ground never forgives sin. That's something to remember. What religion today offers fruit of the ground to their gods? The Hindus. They throw all the food over in the temple where the monkeys are, or the rats are, or the cows are, or the elephants are. And they feel they're doing atonement. Some of them even tithe their whole wages to throw it out to these animals. That's nothing more than Cainism, the way of Cain. See, the blood sacrifice goes to Christ. However, if Cain thought that he was the one, he probably figured in his mind he wasn't required to do it. So maybe in part of all of this, we're also dealing with something that he came to realize. Now, just consider I rang my cowbell, okay? This little reading between the lines. He came to see that maybe Abel might be the one instead of him. Because Abel was the one who was righteous, who received the acceptance of God. Jealousy. Now, even though and it just came to me just now, I've never really thought of it that way before. But why else would Cain be so motivated to kill his brother? Except that he thought that Abel would usurp and take his position as the promised seed. Now that makes a great deal of sense to me. I'll ring my cowbell in absentia again. Okay?
Also,
let's go on. Continuing now. Going along with that, Cain probably thought he was the chosen seed. So how is it that God would favor Abel instead of him? See? That's the most I could get out of it. So at least they were taught somewhat along those lines, so they understood it. It's generally understood that they were twins, since conception is mentioned only once. So you see, now we have jealousy and rage when you think you're going to have loss. Now continuing on, let's continue on in verse 8. Tyndale Bible doesn't have any verses, and it just goes by paragraphs. However, sometimes it does make for a little easier reading. And as soon as they were in the fields, Cain fell upon his brother and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he says, "I cannot tell. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out unto me of the earth. And now, cursed be you as pertaining to the earth, which opens her mouth to receive your brother's blood of your hand. And when you till the soil, she shall henceforth not give her power unto you, but a vagabond and a renegade shall you be upon the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My sin is greater than that it may be forgiven, than it may be forgiven." See? So that's what he was seeking up here, was a covering of his sin, forgiveness, at least to the altar that was there on the east end of Eden. "Behold, you cast me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your sight I must hide myself and be wandering and a vagabond upon the earth." Boy, that's good, strong language. I like that. See? Now, who wanders upon the earth? You go to the book of Job, and it says, "And one day the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan was among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'What are you doing?' And he says, 'Oh, I'm wandering to and fro in the earth.'" This is also an indication that Cain is turned over to Satan. Now, what do you suppose Satan's going to do with that? We have our first pope. A fulfillment being the vicar of Christ. Again, I'll ring my cowbell, okay? How else do you explain that the religion rose so quickly after the flood that it was claimed to be the same religion that was before the flood occurred if Cain was not the first one given over to Satan, totally cut off from God? So what you have is you have Cain and his family Now he's given over to Satan, and Satan appears and says what? I am God. Now this God over here in the Garden of Eden has been unfair to you. I mean, you can almost write the script, can't you? If you know how Satan works. So you come on over here, and we're going to show you how to build cities. And we're going to show you how to do things in artistry and artwork and metalwork and music. Because you read the descendant of the Lion of Cain, and isn't that what they did? So Cain, let's back up now. Let's finish the story. Moreover, Cain said, whosoever finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, not so. Worst punishment is to let him live and go through it, right? It's just like a lot of people today who figure that Saturday is really the great sports day and the great shopping day, not realizing that the worst thing that they could possibly do is be cut off from God and have no fellowship with God because they don't keep the Sabbath. And that's satanic thinking. So in this, when we're seeing the rivalry here between the true seed, which was going to become Christ, and now the false seed through Cain. And Cain, sure enough, established the world's first religion. And all religions go back to Cain. And you read in the book of Jude about what is called what? The way of Cain. There is a reason. That's why I'm spending time on this, because you can't understand the truth of the Messiah, the God-man, unless you understand what also happened with Cain and Satan and the rest of the human beings under him. Not so, but whosoever slays Cain shall be punished sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark upon Cain. Now, I don't know what the mark is. I've speculated, so I'll ring the bell again in absentia, that it was a cross. Why is it that all pagan religions have crosses? You go read the book Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, and I think he brings that out. Now, we can't know exactly for sure what the mark is, but let me read you Tyndale's marginal comment. Of this place, no doubt the Pope, which in all things makes himself equal with God, took an occasion to mark all his creatures, and so forbid under pain of excommunication that no man, whether he be king or emperor, be so hardly to punish them for whatever mischief they do. The crown is to them a license to do what they list, a protection and a sure sanctuary. In other words, he's saying the same lawless practices of popery is what he saw in the event with Cain and Abel. It's not something. Tell you what, Tyndale had some great insight. Now, that can only come from the Spirit of God, as we read earlier. So he set a mark upon Cain that no man that found him should kill him. And Cain went out from the face of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, which means the land of wandering, on the east side of Eden. Now totally cut off from God. If you're totally cut off from God and you're given over to Satan, guess what's going to happen? So then you can read how he his progeny here and how they developed all the things that they had there. Let's come down here to I think it's verse 26. Adam also lay with his wife yet again. Now the King James sanitized it by saying, and and Adam knew his wife Eve. Well, he knew her. He was with her every day. This means, as Tyndale translated, lay with his wife yet again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God, says she, has given me another son for Abel, whom Cain slew. And Seth begat a son and called his name Enos. At that time men began to call on the name of God, or to call themselves by the name of God, and refer to themselves as the sons of God. Now let's come to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Okay. Let's come to Enoch. Let's pick it up in verse 19. Again, I'm reading from Tyndale, Old Testament. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Now you see, all of those who are righteous, we'll see here, walked with God. Now, we don't find that in the New Testament in the same way. Why? Because before the flood, God continued to live in the Garden of Eden. They could go to the east entrance and meet there with God. They could walk with God. They could talk with God. They could see God. Okay? It also says that Noah walked with God. Now, there is an allusion here to the continuing thing of the man God, because Methuselah means when this one dies, he shall come. So they thought that when Methuselah would die, the Messiah would come. However, it should read, and when this one dies, it, the flood, shall come. But it's still an allusion to the coming Messiah, the God-man. Now, to confirm that, to go along with that, let's come down here, finish this section. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, Tyndale understood that all the days of Enoch were 365 years means that he what? He died. He didn't go to heaven as the Protestants claim, see? And then Enoch lived a godly life and was no more seen, for God took him away, which means that he was buried just like Moses and just like Aaron. The hand of God himself buried Moses. Why? So that no man would know where he was buried. And we read in the book of Jude that Satan desired the body of Moses. And Michael, the angel, withstood him and said, "The Lord rebuke you." Because can you imagine what Satan would have done if he could have had the body of Moses and encase it in a glass tomb filled with honey to preserve his body? So everyone could pass by the altar and see Moses? Something isn't. So he took him. Now, Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah, after he begat Lamech, lived 782 years. So he lived 969 years. And the truth is, he died the year of the flood. That's why a lot of people did not believe that the flood was coming. Because what did they believe? They believed that the Messiah was coming, and didn't believe that the flood was coming. So it's just like today. When Christ returns, they're not going to believe it. Be just the reverse. Now continuing, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son and called his name Noah, which means peace. So again, this building up to the understanding that you have, when he shall die, he shall come, and now the grandson is called peace. What is Christ called? The Prince of Peace. But the truth is, there was peace because the flood destroyed all the wicked. So here are all delusions in here concerning Christ. Now, and it also, let's read here concerning Noah saying, this same shall comfort us. Another work of the Messiah, isn't that correct? Comfort us. Concerning the work of our and sorrow of our hands, which we have about the earth that the Lord has cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 779 years. Then he died. And when Noah was 500 years old, he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now we get into the flood. Very interesting things in the flood. See, they thought that Noah was going to bring peace. But what happened? Let's pick it up here, chapter 6 and verse 1. Came to pass when men began to multiply upon the earth and had begot them daughters, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. Now the Jews to this day still believe that it's angels, fallen angels, cohabiting with women to create a monster race of people. Well, angels cannot procreate. Christ said very clearly, they are not given in marriage, neither do they marry. Why? Because they do not need to prolong their species because they do not die. So sons of God can refer to angels in certain passages in the Bible, but in this particular case, it cannot refer to angels because it cannot be done. Kind begets kind. Angels have no sex life. Fallen angels like to have what we could call demonic sex with people who are perverted and give themselves over to that. And that is a phenomena which occurs, but no child has ever been born of that. And they took unto them wives, meaning they were married. Christ said, angels are not given in marriage, neither do they marry, which they best liked among them all. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for they are flesh. Nevertheless, I will give them yet space 120 years. Now that makes it very clear then, doesn't it? There's 120 years left before the flood. Next verse, which in the King James it says, and there were giants in those days. Notice how Tyndale translates it here. And there were tyrants in the world in those days. Tyrants. He understood hierarchy does not come from God. Tyrants. Whole bunch of little dictators. Who was the world's great tyrant after the flood? Nimrod. Yes, indeed. I like that translation. The reason I'm bringing this out is because this shows the difference between the way of God and the way of Satan. For after that, the children of God had, isn't that interesting? The children of God rather than the sons of God. See? The children of God had gone into the daughters of men, and at that time, all people could call themselves the children of God because they were close to the creation. The same children were the mightiest of the world and men of renown. There are a lot of Michael Jordans going around without Nikes. Okay? Or whoever it may be. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, with his machine gun and great muscles. He's a man of renown today, isn't he? Yes. It could also mean men renamed after a name of God. And when God saw that the wickedness of man was increased upon the earth, and that all the imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, he repented that he made man upon the earth, and sorrowed in his heart, and said, I will destroy mankind which I have made from off the face of the earth, both man, beast, worm, and fowl of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But yet Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, which then is a saving by grace. Which then gets to the work of the Messiah, correct? And these are the generations of Noah. He was a righteous man and uncorrupt in his time, and walked with God. But instead of bringing peace the way that people would think, he brought peace because of the flood, because it destroyed the wicked. Now, let's just finish this section. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and was full of mischief, and this actually would be stronger wickedness. And God looked upon the earth, and lo, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now let's stop right here. What do we have in the prophecy that Jesus gave, which is commonly called the Olivet Prophecy? What did he say concerning Noah's days? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Have we corrupted God's way on the earth? So much so that Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Now, that's something to think about. And we haven't seen the end of it yet, have we? And the great apostasy, as we have covered, is the ecumenical movement, which is going back to what? The way of Cain. Amazing. When we're going through this, we're going to see, and it really struck me in preparing for this and getting ready for this, how absolutely profound the way that the Old Testament and New Testament are woven together. You can't separate one from the other. They are woven together intrinsically. So then you know the rest of it. Noah and his family was saved. Flood came, destroyed them all. Now, let's come to chapter 12. Here is a direct prophecy of the coming Messiah, who would be the God-man. This is through Abraham. Now, before we get to chapter 12, let's just rehearse chapter 11. They built the Tower of Babel. And this is where Alexander Hislop does such a great job in writing about that, that the two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, showing that the worship of the Pope is the same as the worship of all the ancient pagan religions which came from the Tower of Babel. Now, out of that, then, here's the whole world back into confusion again. But God gave himself a promise. What did he promise Noah? With a rainbow. He would never again destroy the world with the flood. And if you read the book of Josephus, you will find the reason that they built the Tower of Babel the way that they did, and buttressed it with bitumen, which is asphalt and oil, to make it waterproof in case what they were doing, God would bring a flood again, they could all go into the tower and be saved. So there is willful rebellion against God. So now God says, I'm going to start with one man. And I might add here, so much for a board. Now let's read it here. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get you, chapter 12 and verse 1, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house in unto a land that I will show you. Now hold your place here and go to Luke 14, please. Because we are going to see New Testament doctrine in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That first verse is New Testament doctrine. Luke 14 and verse 26. Here is the same requirement for us today. If you want to come to Christ, here's what you must do, and here's what Abraham did and was later called a friend of God. Now Jesus said to them, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Same requirement given to Abraham, correct? Exactly. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And isn't that what Abraham had to do? Did he not have to sit down and count the cost? Was he not commanded to leave? Let's go back there and read it. To get out of your country, so that's against nationalism. Get away from your kindred, all of your relatives, from your father's house, forsake father and mother, unto a land I will show you. And he didn't tell him where it was. Now notice verse 2. Here is a direct prophecy of the coming of Messiah, the God-man, which means that now, out of all the human beings on the face of the earth that have been up to this point, we start out with Eve, and it's going to be the seed of the woman. Now we come down through all the righteous line, down through Noah, on the other side of the flood, and now then God begins to limit it to the seed of one man. So whoever the Messiah is must come from Abraham. Can't be from anybody else. Now we're going to see as we go along, it narrows it down to a very specific person and mother and place. This is profound. Verse 2, he says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you, in him, what later meaning his seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham argued with God. No. Abraham departed. Because it's told there in Genesis 26:5 that Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Here is the first prophecy now coming down to Christ through Abraham. Now let's go to Galatians, the third chapter. Let's see where Paul wrote of that. And that's why God has not discriminated against the Arabs. Though a little later on we'll see that the father of the Arabs, Ishmael, was rejected. Why? Because if he worked through Ishmael, then he would go contrary to his word. And if he went contrary to his word, then God would be a liar. And if God is a liar, then there is no truth. Okay? Galatians 3. The whole third chapter is devoted to Abraham, just like the whole fourth chapter in Romans is devoted to Abraham. Okay, let's pick it up here. In verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, all nations shall be blessed. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. There it is, right there. That's how Paul preached from the Old Testament with Abraham concerning Christ. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now we'll go back and we'll take a brief review of the other covenants which also have to do with the Messiah. For as many as of our works of law are under a curse, that is, those who are religious to do their own works. Why are you under a curse? Because law-keeping cannot give you eternal life. Law-keeping cannot forgive your sins. Only the death of Christ can forgive your sins, and only the life of Christ can give you eternal life. Now it says, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law on the side of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them, he shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. That is the penalty of the law through forgiveness of sin. Christ has not redeemed us from the law, as the Protestants read it. And being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed, no one else's, were the promises made. He said not as to seeds of many, in referring to the Messiah, or the coming God-man, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. That goes all the way back to Genesis 12. Then it's further expanded in Romans, the fourth chapter.
The Canadian and overseas addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Canada, Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279, Hilda Kruin, H-E-L-D-E-R-K-R-U-I-N, 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God.
Post Office Box 39, Yelverton, Devon, PL 20, 6XX, United Kingdom.